Let's talk about the disaster that was next door last night. I heard Jake talk about this, and I completely agree. It's the first real embarrassing loss. It's the first, are you effing kidding me? Like, I'm turning my TV off. It's disgusting to watch. You're getting your ass beat so bad by the Cavs, who are fine. They're a 500 team. But you're getting...
So are the Mavs.
Right. You're
basically.
Getting... Yes, they are. You're getting blown out. Your second straight home game with basically a full complement, you know, as far as your roster goes. And you just got beat by the Wiz a couple of nights prior after Luka came back and you ended that three-game losing streak where we were all looking at that as being, you know, the big watershed moment. And... Man, it's ugly. It's really, really bad. They got shoved around. They got out-athleted, out the wazoo. They look like a high school team last night compared to Cleveland.
Would you like your Evan Mobley experience?
Man, they got a lot of guys on that team that look like all-stars last night.
Yeah. Yeah, last night's not a good test, but Evan Mobley has put some performances together, and last night was not one of his best, but that dude is just, you know, you shouldn't say this very often because then you get caught up in hyperbole and calling people unicorns a little too often, but the NBA has so many such freakish creations. I mean, we're the same. We're all humans, I guess. But they, Evan Mobley is like a 7-footer who moves like a 6-footer. And I, like I said, I know in this league that's not that rare, but he comes right out of the gate. He's barely 20, and he's 15-8 this season as a rookie. And, you know, at Southern Cal, he was just a curiosity more than anything.
Yeah.
Not that he didn't go super high in the draft, and like I said, he's not the big story last night, not standing next to Jarrett Allen, of all people. But, you know, it's just there's a lot of dudes in this league that are just seemingly singular humans, but I suppose I just contradicted myself.
No, I mean, look, it.
Cleveland, he's no Moses Brown.
Cleveland, yeah, right? Cleveland has been able to rework their roster. Like so many other teams that we've seen, there's a ton of them over the last 3 years that have been able to churn their roster. Cleveland obviously was a joke after LeBron left. And already, you look at their roster and what they've been able to put around, Colin Sexton, and you're like, wow, that's really interesting moving forward. Already. And...
On the whole Colin Sexton narrative kind of feels like Cleveland might kind of be over him to a certain extent.
I know. But, I mean, that was their piece.
Yes, it was.
That was it.
I agree.
And then suddenly, I don't know. It just – and you look at it and you feel stuck, you know, with the roster.
Okay, and that's the thing. And that's where we should focus our time is not doing Cavalier talk. But more than anything, the general view – that the Mavericks, first of all, the disappointment of losing to Washington, and then this is your answer. Like, there are questions. Now you're going to play another team that you should do very well against. Let's see your response. Let's see your righteous anger. And at no point in the game were they terribly competitive. I mean, you know, I'm not going to suggest to you I spent much time on this because I was locked into the football, as I will. But they were down early and never really demonstrated to me that you need to get over there and watch this whole thing immediately. Because they were behind the entire game.
It was horrible. The third quarter, so it's 61-53. Luka goes to the line, misses two free throws. And then I think the Cavaliers went on like an 18-2 run. And it was demoralizing. Like it was, you know, Mark and Harp kept saying, okay, you're down 11. All right, you're down 14. You're down 18. And then I think Kevin Love ripped a three, and you're like, all right, you're down 21. And that's when I'm like, I can't even watch.
Yeah.
I can't even watch what's going on. And I get it. Every team goes through a little stretch where they absolutely can't do anything right, offensively or defensively. But I'm telling you, man, we are about at the point, sample size-wise, where you think that things are going to turn around from a shooting perspective. And they're just not.
Yeah.
They're just, everyone is shooting the ball like garbage compared to the way they normally shoot the basketball. And it's really, it's you're talking wide open shots. You know, Jason Kidd after the game last night is like, we got to make shots. We got to make wide open. Their problem was on the defensive end last night more than the offensive end.
Right.
But he's right. If they're not making shots, like wide open shots, then you're not going to win any games. They can't shoot.
Yeah, well,
the guys that can shoot aren't shooting.
No, they're not even close.
And, no.
And they're all off their numbers, and it's very disappointing. And you're getting to the point at 10-9 where this is, you know, on opening day when Nico Harrison and the management would talk about, you know, the simple discussion of knowing what you got here, because it's they did go through a significant change, even if it's not fully player wise, but with the coaching and the management, I think they owed it to themselves, and I really believe this. I think you owe it to yourself to see what you have with your own set of eyes and your own tactical discussions and your own practices. You really have to see what you have before you go in there and start trading guys that you think you've seen, but you only saw them with Rick Carlisle's ideas. And so I don't know where the line is, but like we said, their next game, which is tomorrow, their next game is game 20. And somewhere between game 20 and, let's say, the All-Star break, we should not be shocked if the Mavericks start to turn over the roster. And then, you know, the question is, well, what can you do? And there are some limitations, of course, cap-wise and future-wise. But I think more than anything, this is where we should begin to be on watch, that the same 10, basically, that have been here since the day of the KP trade, 2019, the 2019 Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So we're coming up on 36 months, right? Can that be right?
Yeah. 2019.
Okay. So we'll be at 36 months.
Or 2018.
In January.
Is it 2018 or 19?
I think it's got to be 19.
Then it's 2 years.
Well, no, it'll be three. It'll be January of 2022.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I'll be damned.
So 36 months and a coaching change and everything like that, I think that's when you would start to see some like-for-like moves with other teams that aren't happy with what they have, and you just have to reshuffle the deck. You give these guys a chance to say, yeah, we're in pretty good shape right now, but right now it looks like a roster that doesn't have enough, doesn't have consistency, doesn't have enough different ways to beat you. And, you know, another Luka triple-double and a blowout loss.
Neat.
I mean, I'm kind of over the thrill of the triple-double. Like, hey, great, man. Put another one on the pile. I'm not going to say they're Westbrookian triple-doubles yet, but who cares unless you feel like it's pushing him towards an MVP and you towards the top of the standings. And I assume the new guys are going to want to make some real adjustments.
And looking at that box score, I didn't get to see the game for obvious reasons, but it just looked like a bunch of guys watching Luka get a triple-double.
It was bad.
It was...
I mean, there are very few games where I'm like, I'm out, like almost throwing the remote down type thing, and last night was that.
Seems like you weren't alone.
No.
Seems like a lot of people had that view. And
it was embarrassing, man. Really bad.
Again, you lose to Washington, and you're like, okay, now go take it out on the Cavaliers. And there was no response, which is not a really good sign.
It's like the Cowboys getting punked on Thursday. After all that's gone on here in the last month, it's like them showing up in New Orleans and just not having a pulse.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, this little phase is kind of reminding me of the start of the Stars season.
Like, you thought we were better than this, and we're here to tell you we're not.
But Bonus kept telling us, you know, hey, we keep shooting. The goals are going to go in eventually. I mean, they're getting open shots. Are they open to their spot on the court?
Well,
what is the problem?
I mean, that's the thing.
They can't do it. They can't shoot.
I don't know that this is still updated, but you know, Folwell's stat the other week was they have top five most wide open shots, and their wide open shot shooting percentage was like 27th. You can't get that abundance of wide open shots in the NBA and not make teams pay. And we can all sit here and wait for, you know, regression in a good way, for it to regress back to average. But, man, at a certain point, you just lose patience. And I would not blame anybody in that front office. In fact, I would almost demand a little impatience, because it's time. It's time to get a little more impatient with this thing and start demanding tangible results post-haste.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone's senior writer, Brian Hyatt.
Now, here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just been handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.